Blog Talk Radio.
Are you a veteran, police officer, firefighter, doctor, nurse, or teacher? If so, you qualify as one of Ron Siegel's VIP heroes, and we have rewards up to $5,000 or $10,000 when you buy, sell, or refinance a home with one of the Ron Siegel Radio partners. As one of the heroes, real estate agents will rebate.
And hello again. Welcome to Ron Siegel Radio. This is the show with no real boundaries. As we discuss current events, financial markets, politics, sports, even poking fun at the rest of the media, this is the show that connects the dots of confusion delivered by conflicting media reports. You weaken the dots, you know the actions you can take, how your family, your business can benefit from current events. And most of all, thank you for joining me. Before we get into our intriguing content today, let me remind you, if you ever have any home or finance-related questions, I am the consumer advocate looking out for you. And you can reach out to me directly at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Just remember, that's the number you call anytime for assistance. When you call that number, it comes directly to me first. There are no operators standing by. I am it.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
While I do have a great team, when it comes to developing a financing planner plan to save you money, I personally work with you. Even if you don't have any needs today, save this number in your phone for future reference. 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. Yes, of course, celebration time, National Tapioca Pudding Day today.
It is what it is.
Yeah, that's all I could say about that one. It is what it is. I mean, got to have something to celebrate, especially after we see the horrific events that went on last night. Basically the equivalent of our July 4th celebration, but horrific in France. Our hearts go out to the people of France. Hearts, prayers with them. Amazing. It's you know, you listen to some of the issues. It's I hate to be political about it, but we kind of know some of these things are going to happen when we think about the fact that we're letting these crooks, these killers, these savages come get off of their soil. We let these issues are glamour to them. No, it's not Gitmo. Gitmo does is not what excites them. That's not what helps do the recruiting. It's events like this where they see they can have success without repercussion. And yeah, I know the guy that did it, he's dead, but the next guy, he says, well, that's part of their mentality, is that's a good thing in their culture. We don't share those values. And until we start making it where it's not so good, it's not so exciting, there are no people there that are going to benefit, the families, the whomever. And if you take it to them, unfortunately, I think we may see more and more of this coming to our soil. And it's not something that we want to report. It's just something that, you know, you see what it is. And it's ideology. We don't have the right or the ability to say something, we don't want to be at war. Well, no one does. Nobody wants to be at war. The issue here, though, is do we want to defend ourselves or do we want to keep getting punched in the face? And I'm going to suggest until we get leadership in Washington that will say, you know, let's stop our people from getting punched in the face. Maybe we'll start doing the punching in the face. Do you remember this? I mean, I don't know how many are old enough to remember, but I certainly remember the day in the mid-70s when we felt Iran was punching us in the face all the time. And until we got the change in leadership, until we saw President Reagan, do you think it was a mistake or by accident that the day that President Reagan was inaugurated, the day that our hostages were released from my mind went blank. The hostages were released in Iran. I don't think that was by accident. I think there is a correlation, and it might be that the same issues come about. Obviously, we know President Obama has told us. I had this discussion just last night. Somebody said to me that, you know, about President Obama, and I said, you know, something, he has done every single thing that he told us he was going to do. The question was, nobody wanted to believe that was what the president was going to do, but he told us in the election, and he did exactly what he told the American people. I commend him. He was elected to get out of wars. This is the repercussion of it. Moving right along. There are some economic numbers in the news this morning. We're seeing the markets. Very, very interesting for, again, those people that study markets. We look at the markets and we say, you know, you have a attack like yesterday, public place. Can you say how the correlation can be? And you say, okay, well, that means the stock market should go down. Bond prices should go up. They call it the flight safety. Well, it did not really happen that way. We also saw that the markets have been up most of the morning. I'm looking at the Dow Jones. It's just a little bit down right now as I speak, but it was up pretty good earlier in the day. The 10-year treasuries, they've recovered quite a bit from where they were, you know, as far as during the day. They had gone up quite a bit. Now they're coming back down a little bit. The bonds, the mortgage-backed securities, they've come back, so the rates are back down where they were again. So we're seeing a lot of the normalcy that we would expect in the market. We also look and we do see that the economic numbers that came out this morning. So we see June retail sales rose 0.6% from May. Now, that's going to be a kind of an interesting number because the consensus was 0.1%, but the results were revised lower from May from 0.5 to 0.2. So you wonder what the real number is right there. Retail sales without automobiles rose 0.7%. The consensus was for it to go up 0.5%. Consumer price index rose 0.2% from May, below the consensus for an increase of 0.3%. So you got all kinds of numbers coming in. The market's digesting all of these numbers, and that's why we get the results that we've had a bit of volatility this morning, and we are seeing that 10-year Treasury at 1.58 right now. Saw an email this morning. I love this email because it was just a little levity to a Friday morning. So these are some of the jokes from this past week that we've heard on some of the late night programs. And because I get up and get ready to broadcast every morning, I usually start about 4:30 in the morning. But I thought that some of these I found some humor in some of them. So I thought I would share with you. And they come from the Tonight Show and they come from Conan and Late Night with Seth Meyers. Donald Trump reported list of running mates is down to two people. They are Chris Christie. Well, that's a little outdated now, being that the tweet came through confirming that Mike Pence is the running mate. In a recent interview, Jeb Bush compared Donald Trump to the Kardashians, saying, quote, "The Kardashians wouldn't exist if we didn't enjoy watching them," unquote. When asked who his favorite Kardashian is, Jeb said Rob, because he's a brother nobody wants to talk about. We talked about it a little with Warren yesterday. The Pokemon craze just seems to be getting bigger. In fact, I read that even members of Congress have been trying to catch Pokemon in the U.S. Capitol. Meanwhile, Pokemon were like, oh my God, I just caught a congressman at work. A little bit of fun there. People are describing themselves as being seriously addicted to Pokemon Go. The problem is when they check into the rehab facility, first thing they see are two Pikachus. I don't know if I said that right. And a Jigglypuff. Probably doesn't carry as much humor when you don't know how to say the name. Man in Oregon got stabbed while playing Pokemon Go and refused medical treatment in order to keep playing. He leaves a wife, two kids, and six Squirtles. There are some nursing homes in New York that are allowing elderly residents to have sex. There's also a new trend the next morning at nursing homes known as the Shuffle of Shame. Just a little bit of humor there. I guess we better move on, being that no one ever looked at me for a jokes, but I just thought it sounded like a little bit of levity here. Speaking of something that I am more familiar with, how about the Taste of Your Belinda coming up 29th of July? 80s Party Dance Band will be there 6 to 11 p.m. I'm good at eating. So if you want to join us in eating at the Taste of Your Belinda, there are still some tickets available, $55 each, $65 at the door, or you can get a table of 10 500s. Just a thought there. Come join us. Have a little bit of fun. You are listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate events and the financial markets. When we come back, there are five questions everybody wants to know the answer to when it comes to real estate. I will answer each and every one of them for you. We will also be chatting about, should I wait until next year or buy a house now? Closing a credit account, will it disappear from your credit report? I'll answer the question. And will the homeowner's rate fall below 50%? Remember, you can reach us at the same time, our off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/ronsiegelradio, on Twitter @ronsiegel. And if you miss any part of our broadcast, Ron Siegel, the numeral one, Ron Siegel one on YouTube. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few. Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That's my message, and as your consumer advocate, I will be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio or anytime at 800-306-1990, 800-306 1990. Should I wait until next year to buy a home or buy it now? That is the subject of today's real-time real estate segment, brought to you by the area trusted real estate professionals of Ron Siegel Radio. Text PAIR, P-E-A-R, to 79564. PAIR, P-E-A-R, to 79564. One of the real estate professionals will reach out to you to get you the true equity position of your home. Are you one of the many millennials, those born between 1981 and 1997, who sees your friends and family diving headfirst into real estate market and wondering, is now the time for you to do the same? Should I buy now or wait until next year? So we'll chat a little bit about the difference a year could make. And what I'm going to chat with you right now, obviously, we know, according to Freddie Mac, their mortgage market survey compilation, is that the 30-year fixed rate loan, 3.42% right now. Projection for the third quarter of 2017 from Freddie Mac is that interest rates will be at 4.6%, over one full point higher a year from now than they are today, according to Freddie Mac. Home prices, according to CoreLogic, and we're just going to use for our example today a $250,000 loan. They project that will appreciate by 5.3% over the next 12 months. So that $250,000 home would cost, or $250,000 loan, 12 months from now is going to be a $263,000 loan. Here's the issue. The mortgage payment for the principal and interest, again, using the Freddie Mac interest rates, the CoreLogic numbers, 11 right now versus 1350 a year from now, based on if these forecasts come to pass. So what is it going to cost you to wait? Monthly $238, annually $2,857, or the life of the loan, 30 years, $85,000 is the extra cost if you decide to wait. Do you want to wait? Is that your intent? Is that what you're looking for your family? I suggest it's probably not in your best interest, but there are people that are saying, yeah, you know something, we'll wait. So what I would chat about, that's the real-time real estate segment today, brought to you by the Air Trusted Real Estate Professionals of Ron Siegel Radio. Text PAIR, P-E-A-R, to 79564. So let's chat today, because these are some of the – I talk to real estate professionals all the time. And we're always looking to see how we can be of service to these professionals and give them some great guidance. And along the way, what ends up happening is we come up with information that we find out the general public wants to know. And sometimes the agents, they're wondering, how do they answer these questions? So we go out and we do a bunch of research, our team, and we come up with the answers. And I'm going to share those with you right now. So what are we going to talk about? Is number one, how difficult is it to qualify for a mortgage in today's housing market? Number two, where will housing values be in a year from now and 5 years from now? Where are mortgage rates headed over the next 12 months? Are we on the verge of another housing bubble or bust? And is home ownership still believed to be an integral part of the American dream? That's what our conversation will be about today. So let's get started right away. Thinking about the housing crisis, obviously that started in 2008. Many people, many families defaulted on their mortgages and lost their homes. The question that the MacArthur Foundation posed, and we'll share with you right now, is going back to 2013, they wanted to know, does America think the housing crisis is pretty much over? Well, March of 2013, 20% of the people said, yes, the housing crisis is pretty much over. April of 2014, 25% of the people thought the housing crisis was pretty much over. And it continued rising, 10 points up in April of 2015, 35% of the people believed the housing crisis was over April 2015, but something happened. On April of 2016, the survey came back, and it dropped down to 29% think the housing crisis is over. 6% of the people came back saying, changing their opinions, basically saying we're in a housing crisis. There is uncertainty in the market. There is fear in the market. Is that what people are thinking? Is that what you're coming across? People are just curious about what the market is going to do. So how do you answer that question? What are we going to do? Where is the opportunity? Well, we need to share the information. I'm going to go and share a little thing with you. And you need to be talking to a real estate agent that is not a salesperson. When you talk to the real estate agent that's a salesperson, I say you just got to dump them, get rid of them, find somebody new. You want a real estate agent that understands a lot of the things I'm going to share with you today, but they're going to be able to help you in your specific situation. Some of the numbers that I'm sharing with you, these are national numbers. Now, I have the numbers for local areas as well, but it's kind of hard on radio to say, okay, here's the local. It would be pretty boring, don't you think, if I told you, here's what Escondido is doing, here's what Loya is doing, here's what Anaheim is doing. Sometimes you're just going to look at it and say, who cares? All you care about is the neighborhood that you're interested in. So one of the things that we often look at and we talk about is trust. And don't, when an agent says to you, if you hear somebody say to you, trust me, well, that's not a good answer. Here's a lot of agents, especially some of the seasoned agents. Their comments are, trust me, I've been in the business a long time. Look at who does business with me. Look at my success. Well, when you hear all those things, I want to say two words to you. Bernie Madoff. I've been in business a long time. Look who does business with me. Look at my success. I would say that means absolutely nothing to you. Bernie Madoff, look at how many years did he go through saying the same things. So let's look at what some of the other people have to say. This is David Burson, Nationwide Senior VP and Chief Economist. And I'm just going to quote him. The more sustainable housing market should allow for positive feedback loops in local economies. With strengthening job and income gains for residential real estate agents, mortgage bankers, and in home improvement workers, the economy is getting better. Three questions. Do they know what's happening? Do they know why it's happening? And can the real estate people communicate that? That's what we want to be looking for. When you're looking for a real estate professional, a mortgage professional, are they able to articulate to you what's happening in the marketplace in your area today? If not, give me a call, 800-306-1990. I will introduce you to those professionals that do understand this, who can articulate it, who can share the information with you and give you the guidance you need to make an educated decision. So let's talk about these things. How difficult is it to qualify for a mortgage in today's housing market? Well, most people just don't know the answer to those questions. I'm going to share with you a study done by Fannie Mae. How many Americans don't know the minimum credit score required to get a mortgage? Well, 54% tell us they don't know. We didn't give them a quiz. They just say, do you know? And 54% said, no, I don't know. How many Americans don't know the maximum back-end debt-to-income ratio? We'll answer that. 59% don't know the answer to that question. How many people don't know the minimum down payment required? Well, 40% of the people said they don't know the answer to that question. So let's think about this. The percentage of the population who believe a 20% down payment is required, think about this. 40% of the population think that a 20% down payment is required. And I don't want to get political or anything at all. I just have the numbers here because Ipsos shared them with us. Among African Americans, 48% believe a 20% down payment is required to purchase. And among Hispanics, 50% believe a 20% down payment is required to purchase a home. Well, I should get a drum roll out, but I'm not going to. Fannie Mae's requirements. This is from their website. The minimum required down payment for Fannie Mae loans, 3%. Minimum credit score. Again, Fannie Mae's website, 620. You and I know that I've told you before that I can put you in touch with people that will go down to a 500. The maximum back-end debt-to-income ratio, 45%. And yes, they do have a caveat there. They will go up to 50% if there's compensating factors. Those are the numbers right from Fannie Mae about mortgages, about what it's going to take to get them. Fannie Mae's numbers. Again, there are varieties there because we know FHA will go significantly lower than some of those numbers, higher than those numbers. We know there's down payment assistance programs. But again, 3% down, 620 FICO, 45 to 50 back end ratio. Jonas Moe, the senior VP at Ellie Mae, and I'll quote him, "The high median credit scores are due to many millennials believing they won't qualify with the score they have and are waiting to apply for a mortgage until they have a score they think they need," unquote. That one, we would just know we should not be doing that. CoreLogic, consumers are cautious more than they have been in the past, and thus the self-sidelining of cautious, discouraged consumers makes it appear as if credit is tightening. It is not. More consumer education, such as counseling and financial literacy programs, could be as or more successful in raising origination levels than introducing new lending products with lower credit standards. That just takes care of question number one. You are listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate, current events, and the financial markets. When we come back, where will housing values be a year from now? Where are mortgage rates headed over the next 12 months? Are we on the verge of another housing bubble or bust? Is home ownership still believed to be an integral part of the American dream? You can reach me anytime, off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/ronsiegelradio, on Twitter, at Ron Siegel. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few. Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That's my message. And as your consumer advocate, I will be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio or anytime at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. The Your Credit Matters segment today brought to you by CreditSanitizer.com. You have a credit report. It is wrong. What are you doing about it? Credit Sanitizer has the solution for you. You just need to go to the website. Check them out. I look at the top two buttons, top left and top center. They give you the best information is from what I see over there. Just my own words of thought for you. So the question that we have for today is, I closed an account. When will it disappear from my credit report? Commonly taught tenet of credit, closing an account could wind up hurting your score, and closing credit cards can be particularly problematic, primarily because doing so can skew your credit utilization rate, how much debt you're carrying versus your total credit limits, and possibly affect the age of your report. Of course, for folks with a lot of debt or a propensity to overspend, the decision to close an account can be a no-brainer. So when will it come off the report? Accounts closed in good standing, meaning, for example, you didn't miss any payments on them, remain on your credit report for 10 years from the date of closure. A closed account with a negative payment history gets deleted 7 years from the original delinquency date. Remember, the older the trade line is as far as how after you've closed it, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, each year it's going to start diminishing in importance or the weight that it carries on your report. That is the Your Credit Matters segment today, again brought to you by CreditSanitizer.com. So we've been talking about the questions everybody wants to know about real estate. I'm hoping that your real estate professional has the answer to these for you, but you're going to know my opinion of them. Actually, not necessarily just my opinion. I'm giving you backup data as far as what some of the industry gurus are saying. So we already covered how difficult it is to qualify for a mortgage in today's housing market. If you missed it, Ron Siegel 1 on YouTube, Ron Siegel the numeral 1 on YouTube, you can get that answer. Second question we want to talk about, where will housing values be in a year from now and 5 years from now? Again, we look to the industry experts for for data here. And again, I'll share with you my opinions as well, but I like to look at what the experts have to say. CoreLogic forecasted year-over-year percentage of change in price. For the U.S. as a whole, CoreLogic is projecting a 5.3% appreciation. For the state of California, they're saying 9.7% appreciation. That's CoreLogic's numbers. The Home Price Expectation Survey, I love this report. Home Price Expectation Survey, it's a nationwide panel of over 100 economists, real estate experts, and investment and market strategists. So what do they have to say? And we look back and we will also look forward. According to the Home Price Expectation Survey, this is for the second quarter 2016. So pre-bubble, the average annual appreciation was 3.6%. That would be from 1987 to 1999, that 12-year period. From January of 2000 to May of 2007, that's what we consider the bubble period, we had a 6.9% appreciation. And remember that, 3.6 from 87 to 99, 6.9 from January 2000 to May of 2007. The bust, that's when all the pain took place. June of 2007 through December 2011, we dropped 5.2% was our average annual appreciation, or in that case, it was depreciation. Well, from January of 2012 to December of 2015, latest numbers they have compiled, 4.4% average appreciation. So think about that. We're right around the pre-bubble numbers, that 12-year time period, and generally you're going to expect that to be a little bit higher than the bust because you're doing the numbers off of a lower base. So that's coming out from, that's history from the Home Price Expectation Survey. So what do they say looking forward? Well, 2016, they're projecting a 4% appreciation. Now, we already talked about CoreLogic. They were saying 5.3%. So you can see here that the Home Price Expectation Survey is a little bit more conservative. 2017, they're projecting 3.4. 2018, 3.0. 2019, 3.0 again. And 2020, 2.8. I'm going to use an analogy my friend Steve Harney uses all the time. The Home Price Expectation Survey, they have over 100 economists and real estate experts, investment and market strategists. You have over 100 of them. So think about this. If you have a bowl of jelly beans and you guess how many are in there, you could be wildly right or wrong. If you get, you might, it's just a guess, right? Now think about this, the next step of that. If you put 100 people all guessing and you average out their numbers, you're going to get closer than just having one or two people with a forecast or a guess. Same thing happens with these forecasts. You get 100 of these economists, they're going to give you 200 different answers. Put them all together, and you should come closest to a very good result. What I love about their survey is they come out and they also give you the bulls and the bears. Well, the bulls, when you look at them, the cumulative house appreciation, looking forward again through 2020, the bulls say we're going to see a 24.7 cumulative, add them all together, cumulative appreciation. The bears, even they are saying we're going to see appreciation. They're saying 9.9%. You put it all together, all the projections averaged out, comes out at a 17.5% appreciation through the year 2020. Not bad numbers. Now, what does that mean for the average family? And again, I'm going to go back to using that $250,000 median priced home. Well, you look at that home, potential growth in family wealth over the next 5 years based on these numbers. So your $250,000 grows through January of 2021. That means you get all of 2020 into it by $200 to $293,198. That's $43,000 growth, over $43,000 in growth between now and the end of 2020. Again, not Ron Siegel Radio numbers. This is the home price expectation survey that just came out 2016 Q2. Where are mortgage rates headed over the next 12 months is the next question people want to know. Well, that's a great question. January 7th, we're looking right here at the Freddie Mac Mortgage Survey Compilation. January 7th of this current year, they were at 3.97. They came down as of July 7th, 3.48. I've told you before, we're at 3.42 right now. And we see that they've gone straight down since the Brexit vote. This last week, they came up just a little bit. But that doesn't tell us where they're going in the future. So let's look at the future, the projections. Again, these are July projections. And we're going to use Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Mortgage Bankers Association, and the National Association of Realtors. Put them all together. They're looking at fourth quarter 2016. They say 4%. That means we'd have a big spike by the fourth quarter. I don't know that we're going to get there, but that's their numbers, not mine. Again, averaging them all together, first quarter 2017, 4.08. 2017, second quarter, 4.28. Third quarter of 2017, they're saying 4.37, nearly 1% higher than we are today. And that's when you average all of these different groups together. Again, the first quarter of 2016, 3.97. Today, 3.41. Projections to be over almost a point higher by the third quarter 2017 at 4.37. Just a thought for you to keep on remembering these issues. Again, these are we're giving you all this data, and I don't want to overwhelm you. And I know that sometimes this gets overwhelming. That's why we're going to post the entire broadcast today right on Ron Siegel 1 on YouTube. Ron Siegel, the numeral 1 on YouTube. It'll also be on our audio sites. You'll be able to get all this information because I know I'm going to throw a lot at you today. We've only got two more questions to answer. We'll tell you that you're listening to Ron Siegel Radio discussing your real estate current events and the financial markets. Are we on the verge of another housing bubble or bust? That's one of the questions we will answer. And is home ownership still believed an integral part of the American dream? We'll talk about that more when we come back. Remember, you can reach me anytime. Off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/Ron Siegel Radio, on Twitter, @Ron Siegel. And again, if you miss any part of our broadcast, Ron Siegel, the numeral one, Ron Siegel, the numeral one on YouTube. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few. Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That's my message. And as your consumer advocate, I will be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio or anytime at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. The Word on Wealth segment today being brought to you by your household board of directors. Yes, indeed. You just text ATP to 79564, ATP to 79564. Your board of directors will be selected. Here's the idea. When you text ATP 79564, you're going to get a online survey will be sent to you. You take that survey and our team will introduce you to the people that you need to know. That would be real estate professionals, mortgage, reverse mortgage if you need that or qualify. Maybe it's for mom, dad, grandma, grandpa. Credit repair. We're then going to talk about financial planning, CPA, tax planning, estate planning attorneys, divorce attorneys, bankruptcy attorneys, insurance, all the different people that we all need as part of our household board of directors. And it's all compliments of Ron Siegel Radio. All you need to do is text ATP to 79564. The question in the Word on Wealth segment, will the home ownership rate fall below 50% in this month's outlook? We review recent economic developments and their impact on our projections for the remainder of 2016 and all of 2017. The economy seeks to gain traction, inflation and a labor market creating headwinds. Surprisingly weak June employment report has spooked markets and put the Fed on hold. Some interesting information there. Fed may not be, and I'm looking at this report that came out from Freddie Mac. So you sometimes look at some of the numbers. Personal consumption expenditures were up 1% in April, led by strong vehicle sales. Inflation remains persistently low, is what they're saying at Freddie Mac. Low mortgage rates boosting demand, but supply remains tight. Interesting, after the broadcast yesterday, I was chatting with our guests, talking about the idea that there's a lot of seniors that are just staying put in place. And when they're not right-sizing, they're not going and moving into either the communities or senior communities or retirement areas, there's not a lot of new housing being built, where are families moving up to? Just a question. And we may start seeing some housing ownership rates fall. That's the Word on Wealth segment, again, brought to you by your area trusted professionals of Ron Siegel Radio. I am going to share with you the fact that people still want to be owning a home. And we're going to go back to these five questions that I shared with you that we're going to talk, we're covering in depth today. And you need to know these answers to these questions. If you're contemplating buying a new home, there probably are things you're already thinking about. There are probably conversations you're having with friends. I'm just going to give you the information that's coming out from the experts, probably not the man next door, the guy that or lady that's down at the end of your block that you're sitting on the driveway. If you're like my neighborhood, we'll sit on the driveway, have a nice glass of wine on Wine Wednesdays and chat. Some of these are the questions. So we've already talked about how difficult it is to qualify for a mortgage in today's housing market. Where will housing values be in a year from now and 5 years from now? Covered that one. Where are mortgage rates headed over the next 12 months? I told you what the experts are projecting. Danny Evett, we've got the audio replays available on iTunes, on ronsiegelradio.com. You can subscribe to us. They're all there. If you want to watch, I don't know why I've got a face for radio, but if you want to watch the replay of the broadcast, Ron Siegel 1 on YouTube, Ron Siegel the numeral 1 on YouTube. So the next question, are we on the verge of another housing bubble or bust? And the best way to look at this is to look at where the market is. So pending home sales over the last 18 months, and we're seeing that the pending home sales are higher than they had been in 2014, 2015. They did drop a little bit in May. But is it the drop in May in pending home sales? Number one, it's still up. So even though you hear that it dropped in May, it's just not as high as it had been. So the question becomes, what's happening in the marketplace and why are we seeing the pending home sales drop a little bit? Where we're looking at buyer traffic by state, and I've got a graph here. It comes from the National Association of Realtors. We determine, or they determine, buyer traffic based on the lock boxes that are on a home. So if you get a lot of people showing up at an open house, it doesn't have any effect on this. But this is based on those people that have gone to real estate professional and asked them to give them access to a home, show them a home. And when they show them a home, these new lock boxes will report back to the National Association of Realtors. It's a security issue. Tells them who went into a home at what time. And again, it's for security purposes. They tell who because each of these lock boxes, the keys have an electronic device, tracking device in them. So it lets them know who's gone in. They're not supposed to give those keys out to anybody other than the real estate professional who's bought the key. So most of the country still has moderate to strong buyer traffic throughout the country. There's not, other than Alaska, no place has weak, actually I shouldn't say that, Connecticut has also got weak buyer traffic. But the rest of the country, we're looking at still a lot of buyer traffic in those areas. But then we look at the other side of it. The amount of homes available is weak in almost all areas. The amount of sales available, properties available, inventory available, is weak in most of the country, a vast majority of the country is weak. So we're showing here that there is not a lot of property available, not a lot of inventory. And when we look at the National Association of Realtors, housing supply year over year, so we're looking at May of 2016 as we compare that to May of 2015, the amount of properties available, according to the National Association of Realtors, has dropped 9.6%. If the supply is down that much, that's huge. That's more than any other month by far. The next month closest to that would have been July of last year. July of 2016 over July of 2015 was down 4.7%. Every month from July through May, the housing supply year over year is down. But it's down drastically in the month of May, down 9.6%. Well, don't you think that's going to have an effect on pending sales? If the amount of homes available for sale is down 9.6%, you have to assume that the amount of homes going into contract is going to be down as well. Join the Center for Housing Studies at Harvard University. The stock of existing homes for sale declined 1.9% last year to 2.1 million units. Supply stood at 4.8 months, making 2015 the fourth consecutive year that inventory is held below the six-month level, the conventional measure of a balanced market. Now, let's look at a couple another number here. This is according to Forbes. There is a pent-up seller demand. From 2001 to 2008, we were holding our homes for an average of 6 years. 2009, it went up to 7 years. 10, it went up to 8 years. 2011, 12, and 13, 9 years are holding the homes. And in 2014, it maxed out at the 10-year holding period. 2015, we started moving again, but we're only holding our homes for 9 years. That is where the pent-up demand is. When people start realizing the amount of equity they have, they might start selling again. Last question we have that needs to be answered. Is home ownership still believed to be an integral part of the American dream? And it's really a shame when people start wondering if that is a question mark in our society. I don't think it really is. But the big question is whether the housing crash diminished the general appeal of home ownership. The available evidence suggests that it has not. And again, that's out of the Harvard study. Greater than 75% of parents say their child's education is an important part of the search for a new home. 60% of Americans believe that buying a home is an excellent long-term investment and is likely to increase in value over time and is one of the biggest ways for people to build wealth and assets. 86% of Americans believe that home ownership is a dream come true. That's according to Ipsos. 93% of Americans believe that home ownership is an achievement to be proud of. I guess the evidence is in, isn't it? Americans still want to own a home, and it's still an American dream. So why, if that is the case, would we think that people aren't out there trying to strive to buy their own home, to be in their own home, to be in the place, to raise their kids? And if you notice the numbers, all those numbers that came from these different surveys, they talk about in a little small area, they talk about the financial side of it. But if you look at the very first number we talk about, new moms, new dads, millennials, they want to have a great place for their kids to get educated. And they have some control when they own their own home. And we will continue to share this great information with you. Again, if you missed any part of the broadcast, because I know we covered a lot of information today in answering those five questions for you. But that is what people are talking about around the water cooler. And we ask you to set that first radio preset button to come back here every day to join Ron Siegel Radio, where we only speak about items affecting your house and your bank account. Thanks to all of our sponsors. A big thanks to Steve, who's engineering us today. And, of course, a special thanks to you for spending a little bit of your day with us. That's all for Ron Siegel Radio. Again, if you have any questions, call me anytime, 800-306-1990. 800-306-1990 or ronsiegelradio.com. And don't forget, if you missed part of the broadcast, Ron Siegel 1, Ron Siegel the numeral 1 on YouTube. And remember, make a lot of money, help a lot of people, have a lot of fun. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time on Ron Siegel Radio.